We're back in business. I have here in front of me a little kuntres. I picked this up a while ago. Didn't get around to looking until yesterday. Called Vayamoid Moshe. See this? A few pages. It's a little kuntres. What is this about? Mikoyma is a kuntres.
By who?
Moshe Pillar.
Moshe Pillar?
That's what it says. Pei Lamed Aleph Pei Resh. From Lakewood, Moshe Pillar. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. From Elul Tovshin Pei Aleph. So this is not from right before Rosh Hashanah. And from Lakewood. Okay, Rabbi says, so this Sefer, what is this all about? What does it say on the Sefer? It says here, Mekoymois Shenayhagim La'amoid B'shas HaTzvila in Dikdukim Ubi Udim. The places in davening where a person should stand. We know that when we daven, we like yo-yos, up and down, up and down. That's the question. Obviously, this is a very, very broad, this is a big topic. What's very interesting over here, he writes here in the Hakdama, he spent a lot of time. It's a very small kuntres. He spent a lot of time on this. And he cites all of the svarim that have been printed that deal with this. There are not too many svarim that were printed that deal with this. He writes here, the first save that was printed goes back. So it was 750 years ago. A person wrote a sefer called Minhag Toif. It's probably the first sefer that ever dealt with this topic of what is the rules and regulations of when a person should stand and sit during davening. Not just for davening, there are other mitzvahs. The net sefer that was published all about 200 years ago, he claims he's the only sefer that ever published on this topic. It's called Beis Vad. I have Avraham Aaron Brody Zatzal, about 250 years ago. It was called Beis Vad, was the next Sefer. I remember now the third Sefer that he had, and then the next Sefer was a Sefer called Ve'elu Ya'amdu, which was written about 100 years ago. Okay, that's already four Sfarim in the last 750 years. Okay, and the last Sefer, which I actually remember when it came out, I did not purchase the Sefer, it came out in 2015, okay, about a couple of years ago. Okay, and it's called Yisrael B'Ma'amodim. It's a very catchy name for the Sefer. Yisrael B'Ma'amodim. Maybe we better go on to the front. No, you can't? Okay, fine. Okay, Yisrael, Mr. Cohen, just sit down, it's okay. Yisrael B'Ma'amodam. Yisrael B'Ma'amodam was printed by Rabbi Shimon Yisrael Feldman. It was printed only 6 years ago. I remember when it came out vaguely. Have Shimon Yisrael Feldman. It's two volumes. Each volume is about 600 pages for a grand total of 1,200 pages on this topic. Okay, 12, two thick. I remember you two. What in the world? So two volumes of what? Are you going to write about sitting and standing during davening, during mitzvahs? Basically, everything you can possibly write about this topic, he collected. So, grand total, he claims that in the last 750 years, there only has been, what do we say, five sefarim ever published dedicated to this topic of understanding when it's proper to stand and when it's proper to sit. And why am I trying? I'm talking about today. Not that we need an excuse, but in this week's parasha, Parshas Vayera, is where Avraham Avinu for the very first time davens to Hashem officially for the people of Sodom. And it says the way the pasuk describes him davening is to the Mokoim Asher Omad Sham. It describes him davening by standing. And in fact, we borrow this term from Avraham Avinu for the Shemona Esrei. The Shemona Esrei, in the words of Chazal, are called the Amida. Okay, the part of the Shemona Esrei that we refer to as the Amida is when we daven the silent Shemona Esrei. That's called the Amida. Where does that come from? It comes from Avraham. When Avraham davened in this week's parasha, the people of Sodom, and it says, that it says, I think twice, he stood in this mokoyim. Let me see if I can find the pasuk very quickly. That's after it was over. I was referring back to what, but I think even in the beginning, let's see, there's just the very beginning. Zakas Sidon Va'amara, okay, Vayigash Avram Vayomar, so the Taka does not say over here, it really does. Vayifnu Misham Huanoshim, Vayelchu Sidoima, Va'avraham Oidenu Oimeid Lifnei Hashem. And in this Matzav, Vayigash Avraham Vayomar, Ha'af Tispe Tzadik Im Rasha. So the matzav, the situation of Avraham Avinu praying on behalf of Sodom is called Omeid. And after he finishes davening, when it's all over, it says, Vayal, again, as Rav Kalman just mentioned, that Avraham, he returned to the place, Asher Omad Shom, to the place where he stood when he davened. Okay, so the first time. So this that Avraham Avinu prayed for. Vayashkeim Avraham baboker el hamokoyim asher omad shom es pnei Hashem. Okay, so we have the story of Avraham Avinu praying for the people of Sodom in a very elaborate way, and before he begins to pray and after he prays, it's sandwiched with the term oimeid. And we have definitely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, have borrowed from this vocabulary, this choice of word omeid. And when we focus on the critical portion of the davening, the Shemoneh Esrei, it is called, in the words of Chazal, the Amida. And what does Amida literally mean? To stand. Now, is that really true? Is the only way to daven Shemoneh Esrei to stand? Well, obviously, yes. Obviously, the ideal thing is if a person can't stand, you go on an airplane and you don't want to make a chil Hashem, or you're in a car and it's shkia and you're a passenger, even if you're a driver and you can't exactly say to the driver, oh, can you please pull over on the highway so I can go daven my Shemoneh Esrei? It's not a very good idea to go and pull over on the highway to daven Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, you're putting yourself in danger, you're putting other people in danger. So you can daven the Shemoneh Esrei in a sitting position, b'di'evet. Person is not feeling well, he's not strong, he has not koyach. You can daven. But obviously it goes without saying that the ideal way to daven Shemoneh Esrei is to stand. And not only to stand like a malach. A malach does not have legs, has only one foot. So we stand like a malach where we are in one location. We don't walk around. There's no walking around during Shemoneh Esrei. Both feet are stationary, and they should be put lechatchila together. They should be put together if one can do so. A person has the ankles, the feet are not able to come together. Okay, so you just stand in one location. But ideally, the goal is to stand with feet together during the Shemoneh Esrei. Now, using that as a springboard for our topic, how do we this kuntra? This kuntra over here is basically summarizing the five or six svarim that have been published in the history of this world on the topic of when should a person stand, when should a person sit, what exactly is even the purpose of standing or sitting, what are the rules, what are the concepts. So he doesn't go into all that much detail, but he does have some very, very beautiful.
I would think logically that you stand all the time, except there's a preference for sitting, and I don't know when there would be a preference for sitting.
Okay, so you're saying, Mr. Mills is saying something very interesting. He's saying this: who says is Indian to stand? Who standing is the default. When we say stand, it almost has a connotation that really you should be sitting. And now, in certain parts of the davening, you stand. Just the opposite. He's saying, yes, a very profound question. Maybe the default is to stand. A servant stands. La'amod l'sharis. Exactly. You're not allowed to sit down. Excellent. The Beis HaMikdash is the place of tefillah. Ki beis tefillah kol ha'amim. So it's not a question of when should you stand. When should you sit? When should you sit? Maybe there's a certain, the default is to stand. When we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the default is Amida. You're oimeid lefnei HaMelech.
There were no seats in the Beis HaMikdash.
Not allowed to sit. The Shechina is present. The Shechina is present. You're not allowed. It says in the Pasuk, La'amod u'lesharis. So it's not a question of, oh, now you're going to daven, you have to stand. No, no, no. Standing is the default. When should you sit? Maybe there are certain sections of the tefillah or certain types of mitzvahs where there is an exception and that you should be seated. Because by default, if you're making a blessing, if you're doing a mitzvah, everything that we do in this world to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a service. If it's a service, the default is to be in a respectful position of a fear and respect. And just like in this world, the servant before his master is always in the position of standing. The master sits, the servant stands. The default is to stand. There are exceptional moments of time in our service where there's a special reason why we should sit. So yes, really an excellent question.
Only Dayanim sit.
Only Malchei Beis David, the kings of the Malchus. So why?
Everyone
has to stand. So why indeed? Why indeed do the Malchei? Why should they be an exception? Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow? And even where does it come from? It's a pasuk. I don't even know where it comes from. Why should it be that the Malchei Beis David, a descendant of the Malchei Beis David, should be permitted to sit? It's fascinating that this difference of sitting and standing was the cause of the greatest division in Klal Yisrael. The greatest division in this world since Hashem split the Shemayim and the Oretz, was Yeravam ben Nevat. He split off, he took with him 10 tribes. Why? What happened? How did that come about? Well, first of all, he split. That wasn't the issue. First of all, because it was all about money. There was a fight over taxes. So they decided, you know what? We're not going to be loyal. We're going to have our own little government. But even though we're going to have our own little garden, we're going to still be loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to come to the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to serve the same Hashem. We'll daven in the same shul, just because I'm not going to pay you taxes, and we're going to have our own rebellious government in the Medina, but we'll still come to shul and daven together in the Beis HaMikdash. And what then happened? Yeravam ben Nevat, the leader of the 10 Shvatim, said, what's going to happen? It's going to come Yomtif, and we're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm the leader of my 10 Shvatim, and David and Shlomo, Rechavam, Shlomo's son, is the leader of the two remaining Shvatim that are loyal to the Malchus Beis David, Yehuda and Binyamin. We're going to come to the Beis HaMikdash, and I know that, and everyone knows the halacha, the only one that's allowed to sit in the Azorah is a descendant of David HaMelech. I am not a descendant, I am from Shevet Ephraim, so I must sit, and he will stand, Rechavam will stand, I will sit. It's not going to look good. People are going to say, why is he standing and he's sitting? Oh, you know why? He's not the real deal. He's not the real thing. You know what? Let's be choizer b'shuva. Let's give a donation to the Malchus Beis David. And before we turn around, everything is going to go back to the way it was before. I'm going to lose my hold, my grasp on my people. So you know what? Tyranny, how do you say that word?
Authoritarianism.
I'm going to become, I don't want to allow the possibility where my servants are going to entertain the thought that there's another leader and someone is better. So you know what? We're going to resort to tyranny. We're going to put up sentries at the gates since I have my 10 Shvatim and you have to go to Yerushalayim, to the office of Yehuda. No one is going to be allowed to leave. No one is allowed to interstate travel. We're going to put up the Marines at all of the border crossings, and you're going to have to present your identification. And if you're not from Shevet Yehuda or Binyamin, you're not going to be allowed to cross. And if you have a need for religious service, we got you covered. We have two centers. We have Dan and Basel, a replica of the Basel, even better, new and improved. And we have better, no gridlock traffic in these places. And we have new technology. And we have better times of the year where you can go to Beis El and Don to serve Hashem. And he created a whole new religion. And before he turned around, there was a massive split. And it became Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And Rachmana Litzlan, look what happened to them. The Aseres HaShvatim have disappeared. It all started over a fear. Why are you standing and why are you sitting?
Did the king have to sit or he had the option to sit?
Good question. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. Melech ain't kavod machal. So our mayor is saying he has to sit. He is suggesting that you must sit because melech shemachal al kavodai ain kivodai machal. Soim matasim. You have to have respect for the king. So why is it indeed so only a king can sit? So maybe the answer lies in something along the lines of malchusa da'ara ke'ein malchusa d'rokia. The malchus of David is a dogma of the malchus of Hashem. Hashem, what's the purpose of having malchus in Klal? This goes back to the whole question of why did Hashem give us a mitzvah to have a melech? Soim tosim olecha melech. Why is it an ideal in Klal Yisrael to have a king? It has something to do with the principle that we need in this world a dogma, an example of the malchus of Hashem. Malchusa de'ara ke'ein malchusa de'rokia. The person, when it comes time to daven Shemona Esrei, it comes to Yom Narom, and you want to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how are you going to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If you live in the Wild West, where everyone has a pistol, and call the Olam Gvar, whoever is more powerful wins, and it's a lawless country where there's no authority, then it's very difficult for a person to respect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have any principles, any concepts. Creating a malchus in this world is a dogma, is an example, is a tool in how we can relate to the authority of and the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Malchus in this world is essential, just basically as a tool to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, besides the practical needs to have a king, have a leader, because the truth really is that if people were honest, even though it's probably impossible, but if people were good, honest, God-fearing people, then they would not need a melech. Then everyone can just, you can have a free society. Everyone is trusted to behave and to do good. That's not very practical. We know that's not going to happen. That's not true. So we need authority. But theoretically, even if we did have a society where people are honest and good and there's no need for a central authority, we still need a malchus to create in the mind of a human being a dogma of how we should relate to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. How do we understand the nature of Kodesh Baruch Hu as the Melech Malchei Hamlochim? It's only when you have an example in this world of a Melech, Basar V'dam, whether it's the Melech of Klal Yisrael, the Malchus of the Yisrael, or it's the Malchus of the Umay Soilam, these are dogmois in order to come to relate to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everyone here is learning Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yomi. You have over here Rosh Hashanah L'Tishrei L'Nisan. The Gemara says for the Malchus to date documents after the kings, the Jewish kings, the Malchus is a Nisan, starts with Nisan. The non-Jewish kings, the Malchus, the dates change on Tishrei. It is a dogma. So this principle of standing and sinning is no small matter. If the split in Klal Yisrael came about primarily because of a difference of sitting and standing, that speaks volumes. Volumes. The loss of the Aseres HaShvatim. I mean, 10-12 of Klal Yisrael disappeared because of an issue of standing versus sitting. I mean, what more could you say? That says it all. The significance. Every time you daven, you get up to stand. You come to Vayivarech David, you stand. Come to Baruch Shama, you stand. They take out the Sefer Torah, you stand. This is no small matter. If Klal Yisrael, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael was split because of sitting and standing, we're dealing over here with things that are oimdim berumoy shel oilam. Now, let's discuss some of the basic principles in the Hagdamah. He lays out some very basic principles.
What's the name of
this? The name is a little controlled, Vayamud Moshe. Vayam Moshe, Barav Moshe Pillar, from Lakewood, New Jersey. That's all I know about this little country. Now, some of the basic principles of standing, some of the klal. The first klal, these are some general rules, which every rule obviously has many exceptions. And every exception has an exception. Every exception to the exception has an exception. So this gets really confusing. But some of the basic rules are as follows. Any bracha that is made on a mitzvah. What do we mean by a mitzvah? You're supposed to put on tefillin. Take the lulavan esroig to blow shofar, to say sviras ha'omer. Any time a person engages bedikas chometz, any time a person does a mitzvah and a person makes a blessing, I'm doing a mitzvah. The general rule of thumb is when you do a mitzvah, you stand. You stand when you make what?
Kiddush films fun.
Oh, we'll come to Kiddush in a second. Kiddush also, so you're making a bracha. You say everyone's an exception. Kiddush is a machlokes. Hold off 1 second. When you make a bracha on a mitzvah, let's take a pure mitzvah, lulav and esrei, blowing the shofar, sefiras ha'omer.
Sfardim, the sit when they make, put on tefillin.
Tefillin, okay, so Ashkenazi will come, we'll come there in a second. Generally speaking, the starting point is, you need an exception why you should sit down. But the starting point is when a person makes the blessing on doing of a mitzvah, you are a servant. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah, you have commanded us with you have sanctified us with your commandments. A command? If you are reciting the word b'mitzvah, you automatically have to stand. Making a bracha that has that word, b'mitzvah, in essence you're saying, you are the master, I am the servant. A servant stands before the master. So any bracha that has in its expression the word b'mitzvah, by definition, is in berachas hamitzvos. And the berachas hamitzvos, I'm a servant, you're the master, you stand. Now, what will be that's one rule. What will be a general exception to that rule? A general exception to that rule will be, let's say, a mitzvah, the way you do the mitzvah is to sit. For example, I'll give one example of leishev basukah. There's a mitzvah to dwell. Basukah is teshvu shivas yomim. You shall dwell in your sukkah for 7 days.
Not sit, but dwell.
So, very good. The pasuk says to dwell. Why then did Chazal institute that the blessing should be asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah itself to sit in a sukkah? Wouldn't it have not been more precise for Chazal to compose a blessing that where the words are Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu
Leos. Leishev doesn't mean to sit. Leishev means to dwell.
To dwell. No, but leishev could also mean. Why couldn't they use a word that is more precise? Basukos teishvu. Teshu means to shave. I mean, yeah, it's from the pasuk. It is from the pasuk. You are saying the pasuk. We don't typically interpret the word teshu means to sit. We interpret it to mean to dwell. When you dwell in a dwell, you stand sometimes and you sit. You walk around. You lie down. You lie down. You go. You live. Living the word means everything included. Yet, on the other hand, you can't deny the fact that the word itself, the literal translation of the word, means to sit. So you have a dilemma. And this is not why this is the dilemma that place gives. Like you have a dilemma. On the one hand, the word teshu does not mean to sit. It means to dwell. But yet, if the Torah really meant to dwell, there are other words the Torah could have selected. It chose this word to sit. Obviously, the main thing that you do in your dwelling place is you sit. You sit most of the day. You're not supposed to sleep most of the day. And you can't stand. You get tired. When you work, generally, when you're in your home, you're sitting. And So we go Basar Roy. And the Torah selected the word Teshu, which comes from the word Shev. So here's the dilemma. When you come and you make the bracha, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'sivanu leishev asukah, how literally do we take that word with regard to the blessing? On the one hand, we said, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvoisav, you sanctify us with your commandments. A command, you are the master, I am the servant, that demands I stand. On the other hand, what you want me to do, Hashem, is to sit. You want me to dwell. And most of the dwelling that we do in our homes is sitting. So maybe this should be an exception, and I should sit when I say the bracha.
You say the bracha first, then sit, or you say the bracha while you're sitting?
That's the machlokes. That is the machlokes. So there are different opinions. There is no clear answer. There are different opinions. When you make the bracha, leishev basukah, when you make kiddush, first of all, how are you making kiddush? Are you making kiddush standing, or are you making kiddush sitting? So those who are making kiddush sitting are going to say leishev asukah sitting. When you are making, let's say doing cholamoi, you're not making kiddush. You're only making the bracha of leishev asukah. So do you say it when you're standing and you sit down, or do you say it when you're sitting? most people, if during Kiddush, they do whatever they do for Kiddush. If you stand for Kiddush, you say when you... During the day, there's machlek, it's during the day. Do you make Leishay Basukah when you make Kiddush, or do you make Leishay Basukah when you wash? There are two opinions. Some make Leishay Basukah when they make Kiddush, some make Leishay Basukah when they wash. Those who make the, when they wash, will typically say it when they're sitting down, because they're making it...
Leishay means to stay.
Right, we discussed that.
Kol pam shenichnas, like the grok, kol pam shenichnas, mevarech leishay basukah.
To dwell. It doesn't necessarily mean to sit literally. But the, you cannot deny the fact that the word leishay literally is a disagreement. Do you take the words... How far do we go with taking a word and viewing it conceptually versus viewing it literally? And then here is a nafka mina. When you make the bracha, we have a dilemma. A birchas hamitzvah is made standing. But the way, what you are supposed to do in the sukkah is you're supposed to dwell in the sukkah. And dwelling in the sukkah is typically done through sitting in the sukkah. Most of the time in the sukkah, you're not standing. You dwell in your home. You don't stand in your home the whole day.
Why is it formulated kol pam shenichnas?
So the Rambam is coming. The Rambam is saying something. Obviously, he's coming. That maybe what the Rambam means to say is
the staying, not
is another question. Let me ask you another question. Why do you make the bracha when you are in the sukkah? You have a gentleman who make a bracha. We make the bracha oiver la'asiyasan. So technically, the bracha of Leishay Basukah should be said when you're outside the sukkah. Before you walk in, you should make the bracha Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvos V'tzivanu Leishay Basukah and then enter. Just like...
Close your eyes when you make the bracha. You know, you have...
No, I never heard such a thing like this. You're making up new things, what? Why? You should make Oiver La'asiyasan. You don't make the bracha until when you're wearing the tefillin. You make the bracha before you put on the tefillin. And if you're wearing the tefillin, you're supposed to move the tefillin to the side. If you get it put it too early, and you put it until before Alois HaShachar. So now you make the bracha in the middle of davening, you're supposed to move the tefillin to the side, and then make the bracha, and put the tefillin back in place. The bracha of Leishay Basukah is very weird. You're making the bracha when you have already engaged in the fulfillment of the mitzvah. The Rambam, as Rav Dr. Cohn said, calls man shenichnas l'sukah. It almost sounds from the Rambam that the Rambam holds you should make the bracha before you enter the sukkah. Not when you are already in the sukkah. And if that would be the case, you would make the bracha standing, not sitting, because you're not going to sit outside the sukkah. There's nowhere to sit. You stand outside the sukkah, you make the bracha, and you enter into the sukkah. Okay, so this is a top, I want to move on, but this is, every mitzvah has, every rule has exceptions, and every exception has exceptions, and v'chulu v'chulu. General rule of thumb, any bracha that begins, that includes the word Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav, that is a giveaway. It means that you have commanded us. That means you are the master, we are the servants. The proper approach is to stand. Mm-hmm. Now let's go to another, and we have exceptions. Look at the a mitzvah that is meant to be done sitting down. Okay, and we just touched upon the issue of Leishay Basukah, which has a life of its own. Let's give another rule. There's another rule given by the Poskim. Any bracha where you derive pleasure, physical pleasure, the rule is you sit. You sit when you make that bracha. That includes Birchas Hanenin. You make a Bori Priho, Eitz, Bori Minei Mizonis, Hamotzi Lachem Min Haaretz, Shakol Niyah Bidvaroi. Anytime a bracha on Reach, if you have fragrance, if you bori mnei besamim, bori atzei besamim, shenosan reach toiv bapeiros, any blessing which a person derives pleasure, the halacha is you are supposed to sit. Why is that so? Because that's how you have the full pleasure. You're thanking Hashem when a person is standing. You're taking away from the blessing. If Chazal told you, we want you to make a blessing when you enjoy something in this world. Kol hanene me'olam hazeh b'loy bracha ki'ilu mor. You're now about to bite into a delicious apple. You're about to enjoy some delicious grapes. You're about to derive pleasure. If you're standing, you're not deriving the full pleasure. If you go to a kiddush, a stand-up kiddush, is that the same as going to a... a sit-down kiddush? It's not the same. If you go to a shul where it's jam-packed and everyone's eating, they're walking around, they're eating.
A smorgasbord.
Okay, they have a mushroom, they have a place you can sit down. Is that really, are you really having the hanah of just stuffing yourself with food when you're standing, chattis? That's not a full hanah. Hanah is to sit down. If you're going to be standing and you're making a bracha, you know you're denying, you're taking away from the bracha because you're denying, the same way you're not having the full pleasure when you're standing, when you're making the bracha, the whole bracha is because of the pleasure. And if the full pleasure can only be achieved when you have yishuv hadas and you have a place to sit and you can concentrate fully on enjoying the benefit, so the bracha deserves that yishuv hadas as well. It goes together with the pleasure. The pleasure can only be fully appreciated when you have yishuv hadas. And that's the way the world works. People don't stand when they eat. You have a dining room set, you have a kitchen set, you sit down when you eat. So if the pleasure is only derived in a sitting position, the bracha, Hashem's, the blessing you're going to make should be no worse. It should be said in that same position to thank Hashem for the full pleasure that you're about to have. Okay, now we have the exceptions. What are the exceptions? Did you ever go to a wedding where under the chuppah, the Masadir Kedush Nisa'ah, after that make a Borei Priya Gofen? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Borei Priya Gofen. You have to sit down. You're making a blessing, Birchas Hanenin. You're going to derive pleasure. You're going to lick the wine. You're going to give the wine to the chassid and the kala. So they're going to have pleasure. So should not this blessing be made sitting down? How could it be made? You never went to a wedding when the Masadeh Kedusha made the bracha Borei Priya Gofen when he was sitting. Never. The answer is, the bracha of Borei Priya Gofen is not really meant for pleasure. It is a semi birchos hamitzvos. It is a birchos hashavach to thank Hashem. The Borei Priya Gofen that we recite when we make kiddush, when we make havdalah, at a bris milah, at a pinyan aben, at a wedding. There are different rules. You have to be very careful. The rules are not the same. If it's a bracha, if no one ends up drinking the wine, there are a different set of rules as if you have to make the bracha again by a wedding, a pinyan aben, a bris, a benching, and the havdalah and kiddush. By kiddush and havdalah, if no one drinks the wine, you're not yoytzei the kiddush and the havdalah. You mamish na yoytzei a bracha levad to a person that you go to. Sometimes you go to a place they make Borei Priya Gofen. They have a ceremony in shul. Someone Borei Priya Gofen and no one drinks the wine. You're not yoytzei havdalah. I mean, you're not yoytzei kiddush. Certainly not yoytzei kiddush. You go to they have these hotels where they bring in celebrities to make a kalbach havdalah, and they have these big performers who make havdalah, and they don't drink the wine. They make the brach, but they sing Hine Kel Yeshuasi. They sing for 20 minutes, all the musical instruments. Everyone is hugging each other and they're dancing, and then they take the kais Borei Priya Gofen, Borei Ma'ari Ha'esh. And then they go into Hamadil and they're singing and goes on and on and on. And they finally finish the bracha and then they break out in song. And the person who's playing, you know, is making the Havdalah, he doesn't drink it. He puts it down. He's very busy in making sure the music goes on.
If he does drink, he's just drinking little tastes.
It's enough. Bidiavet, even a teeny mashahu you are yoytzei. L'chatchila, he should drink a roiv, a maloy lugma, which is a roiv revis, which is about 1.6 ounces. L'chatchila, a person should drink for havdol and for kiddush 1.6 ounces. That's a schnapps cup. Disposable plastic schnapps cups are typically 1 ounce cups. You have to drink 1 ounce and another one, a half of another one. 1.6 ounces is the amount of liquid that should be consumed to be yoytzei kiddush and havdalah. Bidiyaved, if somebody, lav davka the one who made havdalah, if anyone in the audience drinks even a teeny mashuhu without a hefsik, yotza. But if no one drinks even a teeny mashahu of the Kiddush or the Havdalah, lo yatsa. No one was yatsa Havdalah. They're not allowed to eat. They're not allowed to eat until they make Havdalah again. So you have to be very careful. You have to go make sure that they have a proper Havdalah. I was once by a place where they made Havdalah. There was like a Mitzvah Shabbos in a hotel. And they made a Havdalah. And not so what?
So does the chasm kind of have to drink the wine?
No, so by a wedding is a little bit different. A wedding is a little bit different. A wedding, meikar hadin, they're supposed to drink the chosin and the kala are supposed to be chayim, zodai. But if I'm not mistaken, b'di'ev, if no one drinks from that cup of wine by a wedding, they're still married. Not only are they still married, but it's not a bracha levatala. It's not a bracha levatala. It's a birchas hashavach. It's a different type of bar priagofen at a wedding, at a bris milah, at a pidyon haben, and birchas hamazon as well. Birchas hamazon, if a person now he finishes benching and he makes bar priagofen, he doesn't drink from the wine, is it a bracha levatala? I don't know the answer to that. But I believe by a wedding, a pidyon haben and a bris, I believe it is not b'diyav the bracha levatala. It's for a different reason. But by kiddush and avdola for sure, 100% lo yatsa unless someone at least tastes a mashu. Now, look what's happening now. You're tasting it. If you're tasting it, it's a birchas hanenin. So you should be sitting down. You really should be sitting down. But on the other hand, you're making this bracha as part of a ceremony of the mitzvah of bris milah, of marriage, of kiddush, or havdalah. So then, adarabah, if it's part of a mitzvah, a ceremonial mitzvah, then you should be standing. So you're really stuck in the middle. Is it a birchas hanenin, which demands that you should sit down? Or is it a birchas hashevach, or is it a portion of a mitzvah, which demands that you should be standing?
Why does he sit for birchas nehenin?
What?
Why does he?
So we said, because the full pleasure is when you sit. If you someone gives you a steak, $300 steak, go to reserve cut, and I want the best money can buy, $300 piece of steak. Okay, they give you $300, and are you going to eat that steak standing?
He wants to eat an apple for a snack.
No, I'm talking about a steak. Let's talk about a steak.
Maybe, okay.
Will you eat that steak standing?
Fine.
You're going to sit down. What? So an apple is no different. An apple, the full pleasure of an apple, the apple deserves. What did it do wrong? Don't discriminate against the apple. Equity. Don't discriminate against the poor apple. The apple wants to be enjoyed to the fullest extent.
So is it an obligation?
It's not an obligation, it's a reality. It's not an obligation. Yes, it is. Basically, it is. Should l'chatchit, now it should be said sitting down. Yes, yes, yes. It should be said sitting down, unless you can, unless you know you're on the go. It is what it is. But the ideal way to make a birchas hanenin is sitting down, because the way you enjoy things in this world is sitting. And the bracha becomes tofa, becomes a portion of the hanah. If the hanah is when you're sitting and concentrating, then the blessing to thank Hashem should be said in that same frame of mind. And there's one very important halacha which many people do not know and do not practice, and it's a very big mistake. Let's talk about making kiddush. And this is interesting by a wedding. Make kiddush Friday night. Kiddush Friday night. People don't believe me. They think I'm joking. I'll show you the Mishnah where it says beferish. You make kiddush Friday night. There are many people who make it standing. I don't know whatever you do. There are different opinions. How to recite Kiddush. Some make Kiddush standing. Some recite Kiddush sitting. Havdalah, some recite Havdalah standing. Some recite Havdalah sitting.
Some
are all mixed up. Some they stand, right. Some they start off Ayahulu and Burpri Agofen, they stand. And then when they come to the Bracha, Asher Kiddushan, they sit down. They sit down. Some do both. Even those who make the bracha on Kiddush standing, Havdalah standing, the halacha demands that when you drink the wine, you should sit down. Many times you go, you see people, they make Kiddush, they're standing, and then when they make the Kiddush, they dispense the Kiddush.
By Havdalah also.
Havdalah also. The halacha, the correct way, there's no disagreement on this, the correct way to for those who make Kiddush and Avdallah standing is to drink the beverage sitting. You can recite the Havdalah and the Kiddush standing, but when you finish, you sit down to consume the Yayin, or whatever, the Chamar Medina, whatever beverage that you are drinking, because that's the halacha.
Is the ritual for the coffee, you have to make a bracha afterward?
If you drink a Shi'ur, if you only drink 1.6 ounces, then you do not make a bracha acharoina. You never saw, I never saw, by a wedding, anyone ever making a bracha acharoina under the chuppah. Can you go to a wedding, they have a kibbutz, right? So the chassan, they give, there are two cups of wine. There's the first cup of wine they give for the birchas erisin, and there's the second cup of wine, birchas nisuin. Right? They give the chassan kal to drink twice. They cut under the chuppah, they make a bar piyagofen, and right away, and then the birchas erisin, there are two blessings that are said immediately. And then what do? They give the chassan to drink, and then they pick up the veil and they give the kala to drink. They give the chassan kala to drink, to bring the birchas eris. Then what do? They do harayat mikudeshes. After harayat mikudesh, they read the ksuba. And then they recite that they have a new cup of wine, fresh wine. And they recite the seven blessings of nisuin. And when it's over, they give the chassan to drink, they give the kala to drink. So if the chassan and the kala drank, either one of them alone drank 3 ounces. In order to make a bracha acharoina, you need to drink 3 ounces. Then you are obligated to recite a bracha acharoina. It has to be that the chassan and kala, they end up drinking 3 ounces is three schnapps cups. Okay? Three schnapps cups. It's not, this is 12 ounces, right? So try to imagine quarter of this, 3 ounces. You're giving them 2 cups of wine. After Birchas Erisin, you give the Chosan to drink and you give the Kala to drink. After Birchas Nisuin, you give the Chosan to give the Kala to drink. If between the Chosan, when the Chosan drinks his sip by Erisin and Nisuin, it could happen. It could happen that he drank 1.5 for the Birchas Erisin and 1.5 for the Birchas Nisuin. That would require him to recite a Bracha Acharoina.
But there's a
hefsek
between them.
So what? Is half an hour? So what? You make a bracha and you toy him a teeny ma'at, teeny little drop. Then you drink the neck. You have a half an hour. You have a half an hour.
Wait, man, you equal.
No, you don't. You don't make another bracha. What do you mean? First of all, they made the brachas for you. The people who you called up, you mechabed them, the kibudim, right. They made the brachas. But what about the bracha acharoina? So you have to. So what? Yeah. It's half an hour. 30 minutes. But, you know, that's totally divor. You have to drink. You have, you know, you're right. You're saying good. Not as money go. I'm sorry. Wait. It has to be, yeah. You have to. No, he's saying very good. He's saying that you have to drink a revius within really 4 minutes. Four minutes. Okay, you're right. You got me. Right, 4 minutes. You have to drink a revius 3 ounces within 4 minutes. 9 minutes of only a chumah from the chassam sofer for Yom Kippur. Unless when you get to the end, you end up drinking a gulp down 3 ounces. You're right. In order to review the basic halachas, not what I really want to talk about today, but the basic halachas are: in order to make a bracha acharoina, you need to drink 3 ounces. 3 ounces, try to calculate by thinking about a disposable plastic schnapps cup. That's exactly 1 ounce. The typical disposable plastic schnapps cups that you see in shul, the typical ones by a tikkun, is exactly 1 ounce. If you drink the equivalent of 3 of those little cups within 4 minutes, that's the bottom line, 4 minutes. Not 9 minutes, not 2 minutes, not 1 minute. That's the older that's the Pesach Acharon, Yashav Zechet Tzadik Livracha said, he writes, I have the Sfarim, I have the same over here, he writes, the Olam was Mekabel, the Shiurim of Rav Chaim Noya Zechet Tzadik Livracha as the final psak for Klal Yishol. 3 ounces is a revius. 3 ounces. And how many minutes? 4 minutes. If you drink the equivalent of 3 schnapps cups within 4 minutes, you have an obligation to recite a bracha acharon. If you have a cup of coffee and it's too hot, and you just sip, it's very unlikely, at least in the beginning, that you're going to be drinking 3 ounces within 4 minutes. But when it cools off a little bit and you gulp it down in one shot, it's very possible that within 4 minutes you end up consuming 3 ounces within a time frame of 4 minutes, and that would require you to recite the bracha acharona, and a person has to train himself to observe what exactly he's doing. You have to train yourself to observe. No, you already take a cup of coffee, you drink a little here, a little there. What am I really doing?
If a person drinks a revere by the first bracha, you better stop things before he gives the ring.
No, he's saying something very true. He's saying a very important thing. He's sugar.
I always take the bottle of wine afterwards because they don't even finish the cup. The kala will just wet her lips.
Yeah.
And the chasen will take her.
Akini Mashal. He's too nervous. But he's saying very good. Or Baruch is saying, what talk have? Let's say the chasan is, you know, he likes to drink.
Yeah.
And he drinks. He drinks more than a revius.
He hasn't eaten.
Is he allowed to get married now? Mm-hmm. Think about it. Because though they drink before Harayat Mikudeshes. If he was a Kohen, and he drank a revius of Yayin, he's not allowed to do the Avodah. So what greater avoider is there? What greater avoider is there than getting married? What greater sacrifice he's offering
himself?
He's offering himself up on the altar of marriage. What greater sacrifice? It's not so poshut. So the chazaka drinks more. He'll go argue. I was insane at the time. I was not badass. I didn't know what I was doing when I got married. It's not. You're saying very good. But generally, but if a chazan wouldn't, I don't think we say that. I don't think the dinim of getting married are equivalent to the dinim of doing avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. Only by the Beis Hamikdash did it say in the pasuk yayin v'sheich al teish. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that if you drink a revius of yayin, you can't get married. It doesn't say that. It only says when it comes to yayin v'sheich al teish. No such thing. No, they never heard that. You make kiddush. You never. I can't make a bracha hamotzi lechem min haaretz with shemu malchus because I just said kiddush. So what? You just said kiddush. You said bari pri agafen and you drank a revius of yayin. Oh, you can't say the shemu malchus being moitzi shemu shran levatol because you're. It's not so. Just because you drink a revius of yayin, there's a special din when it comes to avoida. You can't do the avoida. You can't go do a mitzvah. You can't go. You go to a kiddush club. People go to a kiddush club. You never heard a rav say that you're not allowed to daven musaf because you went to the kiddush club. You can't duchen because duchening is b'makim avoida. But it's not when it comes to a mitzvah. But in any event, going back to here's the interesting thing. You go to a wedding, what you make a bar priagofen. And the bar priagofen really serves two functions. Number one, it's in honor of the event. It's part of the, it's ceremonial, the bar priagofen. But number two, when you make the bar priagofen, the bar priagofen turns into a birchas hanenin, a blessing for which you derive pleasure. Now, as far as it being a mitzvah, as far as it being a mitzvah, you stand. But also the chasen kala and the chasen kala drink from this kais. So the birchas hanenin. So then maybe you argue to be said sinning. You have a conflict. Well, obviously the ceremony prevails and it said standing. What is though very interesting, which I did see in writing, is why don't we have two chairs under the chuppah? And when the chasen kala sip from the yayin, they should be told to sit down. Just like when you recite Kiddush Friday night, if you have the custom to recite Kiddush standing, the halach is clear as day that you're supposed to sit down when you drink the yayin after you recite Kiddush. So should we not tell the chasan kala to sit down before they drink the toyein from the koyt shel yayin of the birchas erisin and the nesuin? You've never ever seen this done. Why not? So the answer is, because it's just aray. They're only being told matini ma'at. It's not a kivius. There's no kivius in, even though they are toyim, because it is a partial birchas hanenin. That's just to satisfy a chumra that it should not be a bracha levatol according to some opinions. But it's not called a keva. It's not a drinking that has a kivius, and therefore there's no requirement whatsoever to sit for the te'ima of the yayin under the chuppah. Okay, now so this is let's go to another rule. Another rule that comes from the Sefer Iter, which is one of the early Rishonim, and he says another rule, a bracha.
Just one thing by a bit of Ben.
Yeah.
The Ben is a Shabbat, but the client sits down.
Oh, that's a very big machloikis. It's a very big machloikis what they do by opinion of Ben. Yesh v'yesh. I tried to actually find it because someone was making opinion of Ben and he wanted to know more about it. And I didn't know very much. And so I asked a lot of questions. What do people do? And I asked the question, does the Kohen stand or does the Kohen sit during the ceremony? What do you want? When you recite the whole Nusach and you give the coins.
I saw a Tom sit and my Rebbe told me he's supposed to sit also.
Okay, so... It's yesh v'yesh. A lot of people told me they've been by very choshuva ceremonies, a very very gedolei Yisrael. They stood, and like you said, there are people who sit. One person told me that he was by a place they were standing, and the person made a whole to do. He made a whole taram. No, you have to sit. You have to sit. You have to sit. So it seems that there are chiluki deos. Some sit. Some stand. So I don't know. So you're gonna say that when they drink the wine, they're gonna sit down. The drink of the wine, by opinion, I'm assuming, is really no different than drinking the wine by a wedding.
And no, just, I'm saying the same for the whole.
I know the whole ceremony. The whole ceremony. Is the ceremony by opinion I've been done sitting or done standing? There are chiluge deos. Some are very makbit. They're mamish makbit. I have the same. The same opinion I've been kalacha. Say the opinion kalacha. There's a very popular sefer. It's a very authoritative sefer. And he says there are two opinions. He says that he has in the footnotes. He has the rishonim acharonim, and they said none. They say their opinion. Either you should sit, you should stand. Some say it's an avoida. It's an avoida. You stand. Some say it is lemoshcha. Lamashcha means it has to be done in a sense of dignity, so you have to bedafka sit. Okay, so the chiluk it is when it comes to opinion aben. When it comes to the drink, by opinion aben, you make a borei priagofen. You start off the ceremony with borei priagofen. So that who drinks that wine? The kohen drinks the wine. The kohen who drinks the wine, does he drink the wine sitting or standing? I'm assuming that whatever the ceremony, if the ceremony is done standing, so he drinks it standing because it's not a keva. It's not a kivius, it's just a teima for the ceremony, which if you're making the ceremony standing, so you'll stand. If you're doing the ceremony sitting, so you'll sit for the drink of the Bar Priyagofen. Okay, let's go to some other rules about standing. Another rule is there are certain mitzvahs where it says the word, where it says the word lochem. And this is a drasha. I was talking about the Iter. I'll come back to that if we have time. I'd rather go to this rule. This is a very interesting rule. Yay, I'm reading what it says over here in his sefer. Yay, Sham Shakol Mitzvah Shakasubah B'Pasik Lochem. Any mitzvah where it says the word Lochem in the Pasuk, that particular mitzvah a person should be makbit to stand for. There's a more of a hakpada to stand for that mitzvah than other mitzvahs. Why? It comes from the Omer. Now, Sviras Omer is a unique mitzvah in regard to sitting and standing. Because it says in the Pasuk, Shiva Shavuos Tisparloch Mehochel Chermesh Bakoma. From the time that you take the sickle makes contact to cut the koma. The koma means the standing grain. You have in the field the grain, and you take the sickle and you cut it off with the sickle. And the Torah says you shall count 7 weeks. Shiva, Shavuos, you shall count 7 weeks. Mehochel chermesh bakoma, from the time when you begin the harvest. So because the Pasuk describes the grain in the field with the term koma, the Torah had many choices. There are many words the Torah could have used to describe the standing grain. The fact that they use the word koma teaches us a drasha, Chazal made this drasha, that you shall make the bracha when you are standing. Al tikri koma ela koma. You should be standing when you make that bracha. Tochel lispar. You shall begin to count. Shiva shavuos, 7 weeks. Tispar loch. Mehochel chermesh ba'kama, tochel, the pasuk repeats itself, there's repetition in the pasuk. Ba'kama, Tochel lispar shiva shivos. So the Gemara makes a drasha. Al tikri kama ella bikoma tochel lispar. In a position of being erect is when you shall begin to count. Now here we go further. The pasuk says shiva shivos. Now it also says usfartem, and in a different pasuk, not in this pasuk, but in a different pasuk, it says usfartem lochem. Now I don't know how all of this works. Okay, I'm assuming that it's a mesorah. This halacha l'moshe Sinai is that we combine together these two principles. Sfiras ha'omer is a starting point to teach the rules of sitting and standing for many, many other mitzvahs. Being that, in this particular mitzvah, it says the word koma, which we interpret koma, to stand, and also says the word lochem, we now extrapolate, and we go on a hunt. Any mitzvah where it says the word lochem, there is a hakpada, which means it's not just a custom or a nice thing to do, it is a must. You must stand when you make the bracha. If it says in that particular mitzvah the word lochem, what are the examples? Tzitzis. When you put on tzitzis, asher, it says, yosu lochem, tzitzis, al kanfe bigdehem, tikiya shofer, yoim tirua yiyeh lochem, lulav, ulekachtem lochem, brismila, himol lochem kol zohar. Kiddush Levana.
So why don't you?
It's a minog. What? Hachodesh hazel lochem. Kiddush Levana is not a mitzvah, but it's a what?
Why doesn't
it,
why don't you hold the baby standing?
What? You do hold. The one who makes the bracha is standing. Saying, why isn't the nimol standing? It's a good question. Maybe I don't know the answer. Why don't we have the child also stand? Why doesn't the tzaddik stand? So you'll say it's dangerous. It's dangerous to stand when you do the bris milah. You're asking a good question. So why?
Is the
bracha?
Need to put it on the knees.
So that's the medrash. So you're saying the medrash trumps the medrash of which every single limb of the body participates in the mitzvah. The medrash says that the knees, they participate in the bris milah. So that medrash is coming to override the actual asiyas hamitzvah. It should be done sitting. It's a weak answer to say that you can't do a good job on the bris milah of the baby if someone is holding the baby and standing. Why not? Hold it, just hold the baby. Hold the baby still. Put it on a ledge. Put it on. Right. What's so terrible? You're asking a good question. I don't know. Why is the bris milah done when the sandal is sitting with the baby on its knees? Why can you put the baby on a ledge and hold the baby standing? I don't know. If you anyway have a hakpada to make the bracha and the moil has to be standing, so the child is a part of the mitzvah, he's a participant in the mitzvah, so shouldn't the child also be in a standing position in the chatila? Good question. I don't know. What? Yeah.
Rabbi Zlotowitz did a bris in the shul.
Yeah.
And he had the tzaddik sitting on the bima.
Yeah.
Because he was short.
Right. That's very common.
Right on his eye.
Okay, but he was still sitting. Every Sunday, yeah, every okay, single Sunday has a technique.
You ever see a male who bends over all the way down?
Very rarely. Every Tasanic at least elevates every male elevates the Sonic to some degree. Sometimes they put two chairs, they have a special chair, they have a platform. Every
unless it's not corner, it's unless it's not corner.
For the baby.
Right.
But what? So we can't take away the sakana. I'm sure we can have the sandik, the person hold the baby in a standing position without a sakana. We can figure out a way where the baby can be secure standing.
But who's
doing the mitzvah?
There's a med. They're both. A person has his pay as he goes to a barber. Let me give you bring you a raya. A person has he goes into the barber and he says, "Take a razor and give me a shave, use a razor to cut off my beard." So who did the avera? I'm doing nothing. I'm just sitting there. I'm doing nothing.
You're
participating. So the baby is also a participant. Oh, the baby's only 8 days old. Doesn't know what's going on. Okay, but to a degree, you cannot deny the fact that maybe to some degree was a participant. If it's a, you're saying very good, it's a very interesting concept. If there is a hakpada that the bris mila, the moil stand, you never saw a moil sit by a bris mila. Why not? Let the moil have a special chair. You're going to go to the doctor, you go to the doctor many times. Unless he's the sandik. Okay, so you go to the doctor, a certain doctor, they do procedures, they sit down. They're actually able to concentrate in certain types of procedures. Eye doctors, many times they're sitting. It depends on the field. Dentists don't really. Do you ever sit? What you do?
Sure.
You sit by
sure.
Procedure? Okay, so we have over here, dentist
not
sits.
Always.
Is it easier to sit?
Not when you start to standing, but today most of us sit.
Really?
Sure.
Yeah.
Really? I go to the dentist, I was always standing. A lot of dental work, always standing. Okay, it depends.
Even the old days.
I have a young dentist now, this young guy. He's like 25 years old.
He's a short guy, he stands.
Okay.
Sure.
I have no doubt that if we really want to figure out a way to do a bris mila on a child in a sitting position, in a sitting for the moil to sit, we can do it. And if we want to do it with a baby, is in a where there's someone who's holding the baby is standing, we can do it. There's obviously a hakpada that the moil should be standing, and the baby should be held by a person who is sitting. That's very unique. Because generally the rule of thumb is everything is the same. You blow the shofar standing, so you make the bracha standing. You take the dalet minim standing, you make the bracha standing. If you're going to make the bracha leishay basukah, so many people make the bracha leishay basukah sitting. If you do the mitzvah sitting, so you make the bracha leishay basukah when you're sitting. Generally, we don't separate between the doing of the mitzvah and the bracha. Whatever way you do the mitzvah, that's how you make the bracha. You make a fascinating point that when it comes to the bris mila, there's a notable exception. There is a hakpada gemura that the bracha of al hamila be done standing, and it says it right here because it says in the word, by bris mila himol, last week's parsha himol lochem. Yet the baby, there's a hakpada that the baby be held by a person who is sitting, based on the medrash that the birkayim is a participant in the mitzvah, the baby is on the birkayim. That's a very unique blend. It's a very unique exception. Yeah.
With the sandik and the moil.
So that's he mentioned. That's an exception as well. Maybe this is a very fascinating thing. Maybe that's why there should. Maybe is there such a thing that it would be better that the sandik not be the moil? I'm assuming not. It seems like it's a very bigger mila. There are many stories where you have the moil himself was the sandik, and the moil holds the baby on his knees, and the moil does the bris mila. Now, based upon what we're learning over here, is that ideal? I'm just thinking with you out loud. I guess you always use that language. I'm thinking with you out loud. Is that really ideal? If it is true, look, we spent time today a little bit on this topic. There is something very significant about standing. It's not just you stand. No, when a person stands, that itself is a statement. There's so much more material. We have maybe this tomorrow more. There's so much more. The standing is something very significant. And sitting is very significant. Bris mila, we find there's a hakpada to stand when you make the bracha. We also find there's a hakpada to sit, that the sandik be sitting and holding the baby on his knees. Does that indicate that it would be ideal that the moil not be the sandik? I would not say so. You want to be moitzi laz. What? You want to be moitzi laz on Gedolei Yisrael that was zoiche to be the sand, do both, and it was that appears to have been by many Gedolei Yisrael the ideal. How could you chas v'shalom say such a chiddush and say that the ideal would be to have two separate people in order that the one who makes the bracha should be standing and the one that's the sandik should be sitting? So you're suggesting, Mr. Stern is suggesting, that these situations, the sandik should hold the baby in his hands, make the bracha when he's standing, asher kiddushonu b'mitzvos v'mitzvonu al hamila, and then sit down and do the bris mila. I hardly doubt that's the way that these people ever did the mitzvah. Hardly doubt that's the way it was done. But we got a good kasha. At least we come up with a chiddush here today. That's why the taka not, if there is such a thing. Okay, we have a lot more to do today. Maybe we'll do more about tomorrow. Yeah, a lot of really interesting stuff about this. Standing and sitting. Amen.